night and dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They offer all they can bring, and nobody went with that. I only learned a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. I hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. I hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the examples of the lives of my guests. Today, I have Marlene Blackburn, the founder and director of the Richmond Ferret Rescue League, in the house with me. And Paige Collier is here. She is the director of adoption and rehabilitation for the Richmond Ferret Rescue League. And we're going to be having a great talk about why ferrets are not a good idea for pets. And we're going to be finding out what amazing little animals these are. We actually have two stinking up the place right here, right now. It's pretty exciting. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond, Virginia. And I want to bring you an update on Virginia Senate Bill 1026, House Bill 1541. As you know, regular listeners to Indie Media Live, these bills are on Governor McDonald's desk. As of about 20 minutes ago, no action has been taken. These bills would legalize total cruelty to farm animals, and we know that the governor has not yet acted. So I want to help educate everybody about these bills, and then if you would like to let the governor know your feelings, 786-2211. You can call and let Governor McDonald know how you feel about Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541. Or you can send him a note, Patrick Henry Building, 3rd floor, 1111 East Broad Street here in Richmond, 23219. We'll have all this information archived at our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, shortly after the show today. And you will also be able to hear a rebroadcast of our show today tomorrow on the World Wide Web at 2:30 until 3 o'clock. These are two bills that went through the Virginia General Assembly and, as I said, are now on Robert McDonald's desk. If enacted, these proposed pieces of legislation will effectively relieve farm animal owners, and these are farmers and corporations, of humane care obligations. As I'm sure you are aware, the farmed animals in Virginia have very little protections as it is. This will take those few protections even farther away from these animals. It will become legal for owners to deprive their animals of food and water up to the point of emaciation and dehydration. Farm animal owners will be exempt from providing shelter for their animals in bad weather and will be legally permitted to herd and neglect the farm animals so long as the abuse is a, quote, customary farming practice. I spent some time before I came on the air today and looked up dehydration and emaciation, and I was really amazed to see the definitions. Emaciation is an abnormal thinness caused by lack of nutrition or by disease, and dehydration is an abnormal loss of water. So this legislation would allow these animals to be taken to the point of conditions that are abnormal for the sustaining of life. So if you would like to let the governor know how you feel about this legislation, Senate Bill 1026 or House Bill 1541, he has not signed them yet, 786-2211. Or you can send him a note, Patrick Henry Building, 3rd floor, 1111 East Broad Street. I want to also remind everybody that this Saturday, the 13th, whistleblower Bradley Manning's legal defense fundraiser is going to be happening in Washington, D.C. at the Busboys and Poets bookstore, 2021 14th Street Northwest in D.C. That's actually Georgetown. There are going to be a lot of people there who support Bradley Manning. And if you remember, in late May 2010, Private First Class Bradley Manning was stationed in Baghdad. He was arrested, suspected of providing the collateral murder video to WikiLeaks. He is a whistleblower, and he is in solitary confinement. He's been in solitary confinement since June of 2010. He is charged with violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice, including 8 criminal offenses and 4 non-criminal violations of Army regulations. If you'd like to find out more about this event, you can go to busboysandpoets.com or their phone number 202-387-7638. Again, we're going to have all of this archived on our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, if you're driving down the road and don't want to be writing all this down. Saturday, March the 19th. I'm sorry, the Bradley Manning event is on Sunday, not on Saturday. Sunday the 13th. Excuse me for that mistake. This Saturday, Saturday, March the 19th, there will be a rally at noon in Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. to mark the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. This is the 8th anniversary. This has become an annual event, and it will be followed by a march on the White House. Some of the speakers will include Ralph Nader, Chris Hedges, Anne Wright, and many others. This event is endorsed by the Answer Coalition, Code Pink, Peace of the Action, World Can't Wait, A Witness Against Torture, Veterans Against the War. There are so many groups involved in this action, and if you want to find out more about it, they are asking you to send them an email, stopthesewars@gmail.com. I also want to remind everybody that on these cold days and these frigid nights, it is a myth that our animals were made by God to stay outside in any kind of weather. As a rule of thumb, generally speaking, if you're cold, they're cold. If you'd like to go inside and get warm, they would like to go inside and get warm. If the weather is so freezing that you're suffering, they're suffering too. Even if you don't want to bring them inside, you can make them a spot in the basement or the garage, somewhere that will give them an opportunity to stay warm. So all of that is leading up to more conversation about the animals in Richmond, and I'm so excited to have with me here in the house Marlene Blackburn and Paige Collier. They are from the Richmond Ferret Rescue League. And some of you might know what Marlene looks like because she had a beautiful photograph. Was that Bandit with you?
No, that was actually Ice.
That was Ice. Okay. She had a great photograph on the front of Style Weekly, and she was featured there along with her rescue, and that's how I found out about her. And I actually shared with you that I had 2 ferrets. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because I had a couple of ferrets. They both passed on now, but they're rescued, and it was such a joy to have them with me. But I am very clear that ferrets should not be pets. These are not pet type animals. They're way too smart for us, I think. So I would just like you guys to jump in right now and tell us about the Richmond Ferret Rescue League.
It's got started back in the early 90s. I started volunteering with the Richmond SPCA in 1969 when I was 12. I had always been involved in animals, grew up on farms. At one board meeting, I remember asking what happened to the ferrets that came through the Richmond SPCA. And I was told they were euthanized. There was no FDA-approved rabies vaccine at that time. So I started doing some research, talking to my veterinarian, trying to form a club of some sort. And in 1997, we came up with the idea of the Richmond Ferret Rescue League, and we kicked it off in spring of 98. The first year we got in 19, it has not let up since.
People are giving you their ferrets that they had taken as pets, and now they didn't want them anymore?
It's not just individuals. We work with animal control agencies and SPCAs throughout the entire state of Virginia. Ferrets have been brought to us from Kentucky. They've been picked up from Ohio. They've come in from North Carolina. They've come in from all over the East Coast to us. We try to take care of Virginia. We have enough on our hands. There's a whole Charlottesville SPCA, the Richmond SPCA, Hanover Animal Control, Arlington Animal Welfare, the Norfolk SPCA. All these guys call us when they get ferrets.
And you brought two of your ferrets here today. And like I said at the top of the show, they're stinking up the place pretty good. They're so cute and so wonderful. I love them so much. But again, they're not that snuggly, buggly kind of ferret, pet, because I tried to pick one up while we were prepping for the show, and it didn't want to stay in my lap like a kitten might or like a puppy might. These animals, like rabbits and guinea pigs and animals that need to be kept in small cages, are really not the kind of animals that you want for pets. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. The number one reason that we hear people turning them in is it's an impulse buy. They see them in the pet stores, and their little girl or their even teenagers or college-age students see them and think they're cute. They are cute, and they're entertaining. But they get them home, and they can't figure out why they're nipping their feet or they want to get out of the cage or why they're pooping in strange places or whatever it is, that they're high-maintenance animals. Any pet, especially not any dog or cat really, but if it's a strange animal, a ferret, a chinchilla, even guinea pigs, rabbits, bunnies, things, you need to go volunteer for some shelter somewhere, at least for a day or so, or even a few hours. Scoop some poop and interact with the animals and see what you're getting into.
It doesn't take long to realize that these are not animals that can interact with human beings like dogs and cats can. It doesn't take long at all.
No, it doesn't. In fact, we highly recommend that before you even consider buying a ferret or rescuing a ferret, that you read Ferrets for Dummies by Kim Schilling. She actually has her second edition out now, so either one is absolutely fabulous information in there, because a ferret is the equivalent of having a 2-year-old child that can fit through a 2x2-inch space. And yep.
It has ADHD that has had 8 cups of espresso.
They are really smart, and being caged up and like that is just has to be driving them to the point of insanity.
They're problem solvers. They have the same intellect as a small primate. It absolutely stunned me the first few times I saw them do things that I had no clue that any other animal could do. They are high maintenance. You have to ferret proof your house if you do have them. They have the name ferret in Latin actually stands for little thief.
Ah, little thief. So he's out and about grabbing things and looking at things and taking things places and hiding things.
Yeah, good things like your car keys or your glasses or your coins, things you might need.
Paige, it sounds like you're talking from the voice of experience.
Yeah.
If parents are considering getting a ferret for their, and I don't like to say a ferret because the thought of one ferret alone is just heartbreaking to me. They're communal animals and social animals, and that just breaks my heart. So if parents are talking about getting ferrets as pets, or do ferrets like to be held? Like I said just a few minutes ago, when I tried to pick one up and hold it and snuggle it, it was not having it.
No, not at all. Especially the younger the ferret, absolutely not. They want to get down. The best thing that they can do is if you ferret-proof, say, a living room, sit on a couch, and the ferret will let it go. It will take off and go like 100 miles an hour down the road, come back, interact with you, take off again, go under the couch, come back, go to see what's – I mean, they just – cannot get enough of anything. They don't like to be held, cuddled. They sleep about 19 hours a day. They're not nocturnal. They get up in the morning when you do. They sleep when you're gone during the day. They wake up when you come home. They need anywhere from 1 to 3 hours of out time a day. The older the ferret, the less out time they really need, just kind of like any geriatric person needs less walks and less runs and things. But no, they don't like to be held by small children, and that is one misconception.
About how long do ferrets live?
6 to 8 years on average. If you've got a 6 to 8 year old ferret, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of years of a commitment.
It is. I mean, I've had some to live 13. A lot of things that people don't consider is that when the child first gets a ferret, whether they're 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds, even teenagers, they're going to develop other interests, start dating, lose interest in the ferret, and then it becomes the parents' responsibility. The kid moves off to college, it becomes the parents' responsibility.
If you've just tuned in, it is 15 minutes before the hour. This is Indie Media Live. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Marlene Blackburn and Paige Collier. These wonderful ladies are from the Richmond Ferret Rescue League. We actually have two ferrets here with us. So adorable, but as you say, just not pet material. I think that's just a way to...
They're good pet material, but you have to do your research and just be very careful. I mean, they're okay for adults that are responsible, that have the time and the commitment.
Oh, I see. So if somebody wanted to adopt, do you guys adopt?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So if you had an adult who wanted to adopt a couple, three, do you have a contact you have contact information?
We have a website. We have a brochure that we brought with us. Paige is actually our adoptions director. Mm-hmm. And we have people. We never take out ferrets for on-site adoptions like dogs and cats. We have people come to our homes because that's where we house them. And we have them sit down in the middle of the floor and interact with them and see what they're getting into. We recommend if they already have a ferret, because usually that's what happens. They have a ferret, they want to get a buddy. We have them bring their ferret with them so to see who gets along with who, because their ferret might not get along with who they might want to take home.
Can you tell that in just a few minutes?
Generally speaking, it looks like they can get along, but long term, you can't tell that in a few minutes.
Yeah. No.
I've, you know, seen them be great up until about 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden they don't get along anymore. So you have to be real careful. And when we do adopt, we ask all those questions. If they have children, their children have to come with them. And it's, what are you going to do when your child starts dating? And what are you going to do when your child goes off to college? Are you ready to take care of this pet when your child no longer is interested? Because we all know children don't stay interested in something for that period of time.
Paige, what's your website?
It's richmondferretrescueleague.org.
Yeah.
RichmondFerretRescueLeague.org. I've spent a good amount of time on the website. There is a lot of important information there dealing with ferrets. What if people have dogs and cats in the house already and then they start thinking about coming and adopting one of these ferrets or two? I don't like to say one. Adopting a few ferrets.
Well, ferrets do bond. And you're speaking of bonding with each other and being close. If you do only have one ferret, then the ferret's going to bond with you. And they do bond so much that they grieve if you're gone or if they lose a cage mate. So it's always something that you have to be aware of.
Yeah. So what about the other pets in the house, the dogs and cats? And
Big dogs are better. Cats, great. Cats make great playmates, especially for the ferrets. Small dogs like dachshunds and your terrier breeds do not get along with ferrets because they're raised.
Well, it's in their bred. I mean, that's in their history, in their blood. That's
the
what
ferrets
they do.
Are prey, and the dogs.
Dachshunds are badger hounds. Rat terriers are bred to kill rats. So, I mean, it's in their nature. They can't help it. They see something small and furry like that, they're going to go after it.
I think the most striking thing, besides how cute they are and how smart they are and energetic they are, is how they smell. I would really like to make sure that everybody understands that ferrets have a very strong odor.
It's a musky odor. They're in the mustelid family, along with the mink, badgers, otters, weasels, that whole family. And it has nothing to do with their descenting issue. It has to do with their oil glands that are primarily in their shoulders and neck area. The more you bathe them, it actually strips the oil from the coat. Therefore, they produce more oil. People will call and just be frustrated. Their ferret has dandruff and it stinks. And I'm like, how often do you bathe it? Once a week. Sometimes it's like, stop it. You know, you're creating a worse problem. The ferrets I brought with me today they're about 8 years old. And that's about equivalent to an 80-year-old man. They've never been bathed. If they get something gross on them, sure. But I don't bathe them.
Yeah. So what about diet? What kinds of foods do these animals like to eat?
They need a high protein, excuse me, a high protein, a chicken-based or turkey-based kibble. The younger ones, we recommend 40% protein, and the younger ones can do 36% protein.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Marla?
Well, I mean, the older ferrets really, to me, don't require so much protein. So 34 to 36% is great. Chicken base I like just because they're strict carnivores.
So you buy the kibble at the pet store?
You can get it at PetSmart. You can get it at different.
So it's a special food, is what I'm trying
to say. It's special food,
say.
But there are certain types of cat food out there that are much less cost effective, that are actually better for them in the long run. Sometimes you'll see something that just has a picture of a ferret on it, and it's the worst food in the world. But there are some stores that sell food that you just should not buy. Just because it has a ferret on it doesn't mean it's good. You need to look at the ingredients, just like you would for your children.
Sure, or any other pet. What about veterinarian care? Do ferrets need to see the vet?
They do. They are required to have rabies vaccines and canine distemper vaccines. They don't catch cat diseases. It's canine distemper, rabies vaccines. They need, pretty much by the time they're the age of four, they're considered heading towards geriatric age. They need yearly checkups, and they can have all sorts of different medical issues. So it's like your dog or your cat that goes to the vet every year.
Marlene, this sounds like a pretty expensive proposition. How do you survive at the risk of the Richmond Ferret Rescue League?
On a ring of a prayer.
Ramen noodles.
we charge a small adoption fee for the ferrets. That goes directly towards food, our vet bills, our care. It costs approximately over $12,000 for our shelter to run. And that's excluding a lot of things that I'm probably not even thinking of. That's just food, bedding, vet care off the top of our hats. If we have emergency surgeries or have something else that we need to have done. Pretty much we pay out of pocket.
I know that this is the time of year when a lot of families are looking at Easter animals. I got something in the mail yesterday from a company that I will not name, telling me about Chick Days, March 4th through May 4th, shop live chicks and ducks. I was just horrified,
yeah.
To be honest with you, because I know that these animals and the little bunnies and the little ferrets are so cute. They're so adorable. But as you say, very, very quickly, they become something that just is left in a cage in the back corner in the basement and basically is forgotten. And I just think about those precious lives and how hard that is on the animals, and it's so unnecessary. I wonder how the Richmond Ferret League handles, you know, your situation right now coming up on this time of year.
We don't do adoptions during Christmas. We ask people what they're adopting the ferret for, whether it's for apartments, whether it's for pets, whether it's for what, companionship. If it's for a birthday present, Christmas present, absolutely not. Halloween, we won't do it. Cinco de Mayo Day, we don't do it. Like Halloween, a lot of the shelters shut down and will not adopt out black cats. Just very similar horrible issues, but no. We don't do that.
But we are also on the other end of the spectrum there with Easter coming up, meaning April coming up. And it's our busy time of year because we're getting in all the ferrets that were bought for people for Christmas presents. And they've had them now since Christmas, and they've decided this isn't the pet for me. So in saying we don't adopt out at this time doesn't mean we're not busy. It means that we're getting more in. And unfortunately, a lot of the ferrets that we're getting in right now are from the military families and or single military men or women that are being deployed to Afghanistan. And it's so sad. And I had a gentleman come to my house and drop off his two ferrets for adoption, and he was crying. And, you know, it just touched my heart so much. And I told him his ferrets would be here waiting for him when he got back. And I didn't ask him for any money. I'm just going to take care of his ferrets till he gets home next December.
And I thank you for bringing that up, because I'm wondering, I think you have a special interest in ferrets and the military, Marlene, and I know that you have an interest in starting a national program.
I'm trying to push across the United States that we can handle the ferrets here in Virginia. We don't charge a relinquish fee. We just don't. To me, if somebody takes the time to find our shelter, that means they care about the animal. If I tell them it's going to be a drop-off fee or something, I'm terrified they'll just think, ooh, I'm going to turn it loose in the woods, and it won't survive. So we don't charge a relinquish fee. What I'm trying to ask is for across the United States, if it's a military turn-in, for example, the Norfolk SPCA, 80% of their dogs and cats and animals turned in are 80% are military, just in Norfolk. So Arlington Animal Welfare, I've talked to, different animal shelters. All I'm asking is that if you have an animal turned in from anybody, the military branch, don't charge a relinquish fee. It's hard enough that these families are losing their pets. They're being deployed. Often families are being sent, transferred overseas. So why should don't pay to have to give up your pet?
Marlene, I know that you have a real heart for military families, because I know that you are a military mom.
Yeah.
And are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what the ferrets are doing for you these days?
I lost my only son, Kyle Middleton, on November 22nd, 2010. It was his first tour of duty. He had graduated from ODU. He was frustrated. He couldn't get a job out of college after a year. So he joined the Army behind his mom's back. And he was supposed to come home. And pretty much nowadays, if it weren't for the ferrets, I would probably just pull the covers over my head and not get out of bed in the morning. But I hear those water bottles rattle, and I know that they can't go through drive through and get their own breakfast. So, yeah, I've got to get my butt out of bed. I've got to go over there. And once I start the rounds and do the water bottles and do the food and do the medications, because right now I've got 9 on medications, it gets me up and going. It gives me something that I have to get done every day.
Paige, you and Marlene, I think, get us up and going. You guys are such a great example to all of us.
Thank you. To me
here, I got tears in my eyes, and I'm just, I know that all our listeners have been so touched by this, by the work that you do. And I just want to say, on behalf of all of us, thank you. Thank you so much for what you do for the animals. And I think it is an interesting thing that when we give back to the animals, they give us so much.
They do. They really do. And you know, we love it.
It's different. We'll be the first to admit, not everybody has the ferret rescue. I don't go
out
in public and say, hey, I have this.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, I don't bring that up in conversation too often.
Yeah, my husband especially doesn't. You know, I think somebody asked him one time, is there any money in ferret rescue? Do you make money? And Alan said, oh, yeah, there's lots of money in ferret rescue. We, you know, vets and stores and you know.
Yeah, it's like, money you're spending.
Exactly. Everybody else is making money, just not us.
That's right. Well, I just thank you both so much for being here. And I know that you have helped our listeners, help educate our listeners about ferrets and about the rescues and about the situation with military families. And I thank you so much for doing all of that. And I thank you on behalf of all the little precious ferrets. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Our time is gone. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I know, just like that. On behalf of Tim in the booth, Tim, our engineer and blogmaster, and all the other wonderful volunteers at WRIR who make Indie Media Live possible, thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week. Please remember that this show will be re-aired tomorrow online, WRIR.org at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, and it will be archived at our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. And also, in the last second that I have, I would just like to remind everybody that Governor McDonnell has not signed into law Senate Bills 1026 or House Bill 1541. You still have an opportunity to let him know your thoughts on those bills, 786-2211. Until next week, we wish you peace.